Friday, January 26, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. I wanted to start a little bit differently today with a quick note to those of you who see the value in this broadcast and the importance of questioning the mainstream narrative, as well as the two-party paradigm. As William Faulkner said, never be afraid to raise your voice for honesty and truth and compassion against injustice and lying and greed. If people all over the world would do this, it would change the earth. Spread the word. Share this with those you care about, and even those you don't, as the only way forward in this hyper-propagandized, intensely controlled information sphere is to simply continue to speak the truth at all costs until the very act of speaking truth is outlawed, which is the path we're currently on. And even then, we stand on the highest soapbox we can find, and we speak the truth to those willing to listen. And hopefully we can reach one more individual who begins to see past the false certainty that is being forced on the mass consciousness. As Bertrand Russell said, the problem with the world today is that fools and fanatics are always so certain of themselves, and wiser men so full of doubts. We discussed many solid solutions yesterday on Nathan's show, and that show was interestingly pulled and deleted from YouTube, but luckily it's now on DTube, and like everything I discussed, the link will be in the show notes below. And many of the solutions we discussed were related to personal changes to health, and fittingly, many of the most important stories of the last 24 hours perfectly relate to that, likely why the show was pulled. So let's get into it. Starting with the stories from yesterday, What's Wrong with Modern Wheat, coming out of WakingTimes.com, written by Anna Hunt. Wheat has transformed dramatically since the inception of modern industrial agriculture. Almost everything about wheat has changed. The way it's raised, its hybridization, the way it's processed, and the amount that we're eating. These changes have done little good when it comes to the environment and our health. First of all, through modern chemical farming, the food industry has destroyed the nutritional value of the wheat plant. In addition, the overuse of agrochemicals is slowly destroying our soil. As Dr. Varanda Shiva, activist and author of Who Really Feeds the World, is quoted in saying, chemical fertilization leaves your foods and your crops deficient in vital mineral trace elements, micronutrients, because the soil is not getting those nutrients. Your soil is being decertified. And due to our overconsumption of wheat, we're also destroying the body's ability to digest it. As a result, many people are now faced with insidious health problems. As Sarah Ballantine, PhD health advocate, said, as our diets are getting more and more nutrient void and richer in inflammatory compounds, we are creating a perfect storm of events for chronic illness. Modern wheat wouldn't be what it is today without the chemical industry. And after World War II, corporations that produced chemicals for warfare needed a new market, and the agricultural industry was the perfect fit. Sadly, instead of focusing on efforts to make the plants healthier, the chemical producers focused on the yield of the plant. And they were highly effective. Today, we have a pervasive abundance of wheat. It is heavily subsidized, making it a cheap ingredient available for food products. We are most familiar with wheat in foods such as breads and pastas, but it's also present in food additives, preservatives, flavorings, cosmetics, personal care products, supplements, medications, and drinks. In support of the wheat industry, corporations and politicians have effectively sold the public on the idea that wheat needs to be an important part of our diet, just as it did with milk and red meat. Two things that every modern dietitian will tell you are not only not necessary for a healthy diet, but in many ways detrimental. One of the most popular, yet oddly the most contested chemicals used in wheat production is glyphosate, branded as Roundup, something we've covered quite extensively. Regardless of countless red flags surrounding its safety, glyphosate use has increased multifold over the last few decades. In 1990, wheat crops in the U.S. were sprayed with over 497,000 pounds of glyphosate. In 2014, this increased 35-fold to over 17.7 million pounds sprayed in just 1 year. We've covered some very interesting articles discussing this topic, wherein the entire EU Parliament took a piss test and found that glyphosate was in their urine. There were studies showing that every single organic wine in Napa Valley had glyphosate in it, showing you that this is far beyond just the crops that are being sprayed on. We find glyphosate in every product we use today, from cotton to our drinking water. This should be alarming to us. Glyphosate is, of course, just one of the chemicals that producers spray on wheat fields. In fact, farmers typically use chemicals as many as 10 times during the growing process. This includes sprays that put on seeds to make them sprout. Hormone sprays are used to make the stalks grow strong and to make the plants seed at the same time. Finally, producers will use even more chemicals during the food processing stage to speed up the production process. Cindy O'Meara, nutritionist and founder of Changing Habits, is quoted in saying, "The same things that protect wheat from insects and disease are the same things that are the most inflammatory for our bodies." Inflammation is now being recognized as the connection to just about every illness and disease of concern for the human body today. And most of our common habits, diets, and practices are directly causing inflammation, which then leads to any number of issues in the associated areas of the body, from cancer to diabetes. And speaking of glyphosate and the ongoing cover-up of its detrimental effects, the next story coming out of naturalblaze.com, written by Stacey Malkin, Monsanto's fingerprints all over Newsweek's hit on organic food. The campaign for organic food is a deceitful, expensive scam, according to a January 19th Newsweek article authored by Dr. Henry I. Miller of the Hoover Institution. If that name sounds familiar, Henry I. Miller, it may be because a scandal involving Miller was recently exposed, wherein he had been caught publishing an article ghostwritten by Monsanto under his own name in Forbes. The article, which largely mirrored a draft provided to him by Monsanto, attacked the scientists of the World Health Organization's cancer panel for their decision to list Monsanto's top-selling chemical glyphosate as a probable carcinogen. Forbes removed the story from its website on Wednesday and said that it ended its relationship with Mr. Miller amid the revelations. Other publications then went on record, adding disclaimers to Miller's commentaries, noting that they would have rejected his work had they known of the association with Monsanto. Despite this, Miller has carried on deceiving, and outlets such as Newsweek and Wall Street Journal have continued to publish his work without disclosing his obvious relationship to Monsanto, which says quite a lot about these outlets. As far as Monsanto is concerned, this is hardly a new development, as we have seen them use other writers to push their agenda and even written legislation that was then used without modification and made into law. One of the most widely known yet rarely discussed dirty secrets of the way this country operates is this is how lobbying works. Yet in most cases, they simply influence a bill. Yet Monsanto is quite powerful and has many politicians in their pocket. Moving on to two stories coming out of the antimedia.org. As I always recommend, you go on to read these articles for yourself and do your own further investigation, but both are heavy with information and deserve more time than I can give them on this show. First one is entitled, "Revealed, U.S. spent over $1 million to exploit protests in Iran for regime change." U.S. State Department spent over $1 million to exploit unrest in Iran, investigative journalist Nafiz Ahmed reported last week. This is something we reported on quite extensively as well, and it's something that I don't think is much of a shock to most people today. We've talked about the color revolutions and the general influence the U.S. government has on other governments around the world, you know, surreptitiously to most part. But this is interesting to actually see reports of the demonstrated influence and the money that was spent to carry it out, despite them openly denying any kind of association. So I find that very revealing and very interesting. Next article entitled, "Iran just proposed a path to peace in the Middle East." An article published by the Financial Times on Monday, Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, laid out the country's proposed framework for bringing stability to the Middle East region. If Zarif is indeed genuine in his call for peace, taking his words at face value suggests he's proposing that countries in the region come together to form common interests and fight common enemies, rather than focusing squarely on their differences. Now, as rudimentary as this may sound to some, due to outside influence, the Middle East and Africa, for that matter, have devolved over many years into the hostile and oppressive region that it is in many ways today. This is due in large part to regime change and outside forces putting into power those who might be more easily manipulated and who stoke unrest in the region, allowing the justification for outside control. So this new proposal very well may dramatically change the landscape. So let's hope first that Iran's proposal is genuine, and second that the rest of the world can manage to put their differences aside in order to coexist as peacefully as possible. Moving on to the stories from today and doing our best to keep you updated on the text message memo distraction. The new bombshell from today, the FBI leaks to the mainstream media and they're both biased and corrupt. You don't say. These stories continue to get more ridiculous and they seem to be revealing information that we're already fully aware of. And the next one is the FBI shied away from investigating Clinton because they fear her wrath. So, okay, this is clearly something that we're all generally aware of. I think these stories are, I mean, these are two general stories today that came out as if they're breaking new bombshells. This memo and text message thing is increasingly becoming to seem very much like an ongoing distraction. Now, these may be groundbreaking revelations to those kind of still enslaved to the mainstream media, but the independent media have been sounding that alarm for a decade now, if not longer. Just look at the Clinton body count. Titus Frost did an excellent documentary on this, and we've covered that meticulously, as those connected to the Clintons have a way of suddenly being suicided by stabbing themselves in the back or shooting themselves twice in the head. As I've been saying from the very beginning, it's not that these claims are devoid of fact. We know that's not the case. We have been calling attention to these things for a very long time, but this is being used to distract you, as I can almost guarantee that this will not lead to anyone of note being actually held accountable, as we have right at this moment a mountain of verifiable crimes being eclipsed by these new old revelations. And we need to remember that we have yet to actually see the memo or the counter memo. And in all of these cases, we are basically taking the word of the very individuals and organizations who have been lying to us for years, as is their job. They're being used to distract you from what's actually going on behind the scenes and on a larger geopolitical scale. So keep that in mind. Moving on to the next story coming out of WakingTimes.com by Terrence Newton. Local news warns of a fourth snowfall and geoengineering for Houston. The Gulfport city of Houston, Texas has already seen three snowfalls so far this year, something that has only happened once in recorded history in 1973. And considering that February is still to come, which is historically the month most likely to bring snow to the area, local Houston news station KHOU is warning of a record-breaking fourth snowfall and openly advocating for the use of geoengineering. Such bizarre weather in Houston follows the unbelievable flooding and devastation brought to the area last summer with Hurricane Harvey. What was very recently openly disregarded as conspiracy theory by these very same mainstream media outlets is now being pushed as what must be done to save us from ourselves. In the case of Houston, a reporter did exactly that, informing the public that geoengineering projects were in our future and will be impacting Houston weather in the years to come. The mind bender, as the article puts it, is the fact that mainstream media outlets are now suggesting that once geoengineering kicks off, as if it already hasn't been in use for decades now, it will be too dangerous to stop, for the effects of reversal would be totally devastating, which is absolutely mind-boggling to hear them say that. USA Today recently pitched this idea to its readers. They are talking about atmospheric spraying, otherwise known as chemtrails, a topic still dismissed by many, even when mainstream media discusses it. The years of forceful programming refuse to be forgotten. This is cognitive dissonance. This is a topic we have been trying to wake people up to for years, and the article references evidence that dates all the way back to 1940s, when General Electric oversaw the development of cloud seeding research, and with Project Cirrus was able to actually change the course of a major hurricane. This is documented, undisputed information. We cover Hurricane Harvey, wherein we saw the hurricane re-intensify three times over Houston, over the land. If we truly want to improve life on Earth and stop the processes which are most damaging to our planet, we must begin to break the grip of the fossil fuel industry and allow the full exploration and marketization of new energy technologies, many that already exist and have been suppressed. While this outcome is unlikely in such a criminally controlled environment as we have today, it appears the powers that be will be officially rolling out geoengineering very soon. I emphasize the word officially because I think for most in the know, it's pretty obvious that these things have been going on for quite a long time. I mean, the idea of weather modification in general dates back a very long time. But the idea of cloud seeding is something that's never even really been hidden. But now they're full out coming to admit the idea of weather modification, chemtrails in general. And again, something that people still staunchly disagree with and claim is a complete conspiracy theory, despite them openly talking about it on mainstream news. That's powerful. And for our final story of the day, coming out of Inside Syria Media Center, U.S. and Turkey agreed on the assassination of Kurdish politicians and field commanders. After Turkey had unleashed a military operation in the north of Syria, it became clear that Erdogan was ready for decisive actions on this issue. On January 25th, the Kurdish command initiated the redeployment of its troops to the area of Manjib. In response to these events, the American authorities began to seek for an output from a current situation. According to our sources in Afrin, Washington accepted the assassination of high-ranking and radical Kurdish field commanders and politicians with the help of the Turkish army in order to prevent further escalation of tensions between NATO allies. And we are already seeing the result of this info coming from anti-media. Kurds call on Syrian government to help fight Turkey, which goes directly against the U.S. The Kurds in Syria have now called on the regime of President Bashar al-Assad to help them to fight against Turkish forces in the country's northwestern province of Afrin. quote, "We called on the Syrian state to carry out its sovereign obligations toward Afrin and protect its borders with Turkey from attacks of the Turkish occupier and deploy its Syrian armed forces to secure the borders of the Afrin area," which is sort of ridiculous when you understand that the Kurds, aligned with the U.S. up until recently at least, are there occupying Syrian territory. And now they're asking for Assad's help, which is very interesting and confusing development. But it just shows that there is some deep and ultimately double-crossing agendas here that all seem to ultimately lead back to the U.S. government. To finish today, I wanted to point out that much of what we discuss here is painted as anti-American, when that couldn't be farther from the truth. The reality is that the policies being carried out currently under the guise of American interests are overtly un-American, especially when one remembers the true values of this country that have seemed to have been forgotten in this fervor for security and geopolitical control. It's also important to point out that not all are villains either. Many within the current governmental structure fighting for these very authoritarian policies likely think that what they're doing is for the good of Americans or the good of the world even. But today it has become more about winning than prosperity and more about success than peace. We forget that all life has worth and deserves the right to liberty and justice, not just Americans. But in today's nationalistic mindset, it doesn't matter how many innocent lives are taken, as long as they're not American lives. We must change the course we are on, but change does not mean we no longer have control of the U.S. or ourselves, as many assume we are arguing for. No, it simply means we are no longer forcefully bending others to the will of the U.S. We only dictate the path of our own lives, individually. And we must both find leaders willing to clear the way for such a path, as well as a governing structure that allows that to be possible, even if that means tearing down the one that refuses to allow the will of the people to be realized. For more information on the topics discussed today, check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.